everyone, this is Kennedy Hawk from the Marvel Champions Monthly fan podcast crew. We're doing a new type of episode. This is going to be a monthly new format where we're not necessarily just talking about Marvel Champions, but it is card game chit chat with Kennedy and Crimson. That's a lot of C's and 1K. So, how's it going, Crimson?
It's going great. I'm excited for this. I love talking about other card games. I mean, I love Marvel Champions, but my roots are, you know, in the card gaming genre.
Yeah, I might play a few too many card games. It's possible.
Yeah, like honestly, yeah.
So I think how we're going to do these episodes is we're each going to talk about a card game we've been playing in the past month, what we like about it, what we don't like about it. And then in the future, we're going to take listener emails. So if you email us about a card game that you have played, we'll read that card game email on air. And then we might even try out the card game before the next recording and tell you what we think about it. So why don't you tell us what you've been playing, Crimson?
I've been playing a lot of Magic, mainly Magic Arena. That's my roots. That's what I started with. That is my game that I've always played and always loved.
Nice. I also started with Magic. I haven't played a lot of Arena recently. Is there a new set or anything?
So they've been expanding Heroic a lot. Like before, when we had the first rotation from Standard into Heroic, it just felt like, you know, new Standard. But since they've added these anthology sets, which have brought in a lot of cards from older Magic sets into Historic, and I mean Historic, I know I said Heroic, but I mean Historic.
Okay, I was going to say, can you tell me what Heroic is? I don't even know. I don't want to be Heroic. That's horrible.
And you know what? That's going to happen a lot. You guys will realize without editing how stupid I sound so much. So with Historic, they've added the anthologies. They've also, the newest set that they added for Historic is Amonkhet Remastered, which had a bunch of the staples from Amonkhet, but it also added in some very old cards like Pact of Negation, Collective Company, Wrath of God, and that has changed Historic completely. It feels more like modern or pre-modern than it did old school Historic. So this has been like a renaissance in that format.
Interesting. So are you like a certain color type of player in Magic? I know there's 5 colors and there's 4 aspects in Champions. So what color are you? Not Justice, obviously, but something similar probably?
Yes, I am a blue-white player. So when I play, my goal is to counterspell anything that's scary, then Wrath of God to kill all the creatures, and then slowly make you hate your life until you quit.
As someone who likes leadership and aggression, I was always a green and red player. Like, I like the giant big creatures, even though they're not efficient, and I like burn damage, so it makes sense.
Yeah, pretty much the complete opposite.
Yeah. Could be interesting. I played a little bit of Magic Arena recently, but mostly just the drafting on there. I find the real-time live drafting to be really, really entertaining. It's like my favorite format for Magic ever is like sealed draft. And now I can do it on my computer safely during a pandemic. So that's awesome.
Exactly. And since before they did the old draft method where it was like, it kind of reminds you like the Eternal card game draft method or the Hearthstone draft method. This new version is traditional. It's what you get when you go to the, you know, card shop, that same style of drafting with people around the table. Me personally, I suck at drafting and have never been good at it. Like, I was good at Rochester drafting, which was something back in, you know, the early 90s
before Ancient they had, like,
yeah, exactly. In fact, the first world series, you know, the world champions was a Rochester draft. At that tournament, they didn't even have booster draft back then. But I am very good at sealed. So whenever sealed comes up, I always jump into that because I know I can get the 7 wins almost every time.
Nice. So how does the sealed work in Magic Arena?
You get 6 packs. So that's pretty much exactly how sealed works now since they've gotten rid of starter decks or tournament packs or whatever those things were called. You know, they were called starter decks when I was a kid. So now you just get 6 packs and then you make a deck out of those 6 packs. My favorite format, unfortunately, is not on Arena and will never be on Arena. It was a format called Mini Masters. which was, you know, back when Magic first started, of like play for cards kind of aspect of the game. And Mini Masters was a format where you and a friend would each buy a pack. You would stick to play a game. Whoever won took both packs. And that's still one of my favorite way to play Magic. It's like pack warring, but you get a play.
We used to do that with Pokemon cards when I was little too. We played where you would shuffle your deck and you'd put the top three cards face down, and whoever won the match would get to take those cards home with them. And then the teachers had to break it up because we were stealing too many kids' cards on the playground.
Kind of why Wizards has moved away from, you know, all that kind of stuff too, is because, you know, people thought of it as gambling and stuff like that. And technically it is. So I agree with it. Like, younger people probably don't do that. You know, us older people, we've already been tainted.
Yeah, it's already happened to you.
Yeah.
Well, what else can you tell us about Magic Arena and Magic the Card Game? Why would a Marvel Champions player like...
Always tell people whenever they start playing any new game is I ask them, especially when I'm doing demos, I'm like, have you played Magic before? And the main reason why is because almost every card game can find its roots in Magic. There are some exceptions, like the Decipher games that came out around the same time. They were so vastly different, the Star Wars and Star Trek. But for the most part, almost every game that's came out since, including like Pokemon, has some roots in Magic. And if you know how to play Magic, and you maybe you haven't mastered it, but you've learned about the probabilities, why you add this amount of lands in your deck, why you want this amount of one card versus, you know, four cards instead of three, or why you want to stay at 60 cards, but you're adding a bunch of cantrips. Now that's a community slang, so it's a card that replaces itself, so it usually doesn't do much, but it's like having one less card in your deck, and the smaller your deck is, the more probability you have of drawing the cards you need when you need them. And learning those kind of mechanics, and you learn them very quickly and very well in Magic, translates to other card games like Champions, and understanding the probabilities, like why do I want to run, you know, two of this card versus three of it? Like, why wouldn't I want to run three Avenger Mansions? Well, usually the reason is because, A, you want the probability of drawing it early, but the downside is you can only play one into play. So that's why a lot of people run two. Some people run one. I feel that's, depending on the deck, is appropriate, but you learn that kind of aspect in Magic.
And talking about cantrips, there's examples of that exactly in Marvel Champions, like Fearless Determination from Captain America. You get a bonus and then you draw a card, so you're just cycling your deck faster and faster. It's something we talk about a lot, is getting through your deck as fast as you can, because in Marvel Champions, you get to reshuffle your deck. But in Magic, what happens when you run out of cards in your deck?
You're dead.
You're dead. Dead, lost, or like you just don't get more options? I can't remember.
No. You're dead out.
You're dead, dead. Oh,
the moment, the moment you are forced to draw a card and cannot, you lose. And a good example is the word cantrip, which we all associate with that ability. That, you know, something cheap doesn't do much. You draw a card, it replaces itself. That word is actually a Magic the Gathering card called cantrip, and so a lot of these slangs that we learn in these, or that we use in these other games, literally came from Magic the Gathering cards, like mill. When someone says, hey, you know, this deck mills, which we don't see a lot in Champions. I expect we will at some point, but we sort of do with like the villains, like Claw's kind of milly for himself. He kind of mills through his deck. But the word mill comes from millstone, which is a Magic card that allows you to put some energy into it and use it and discard the top two cards of somebody's deck.
The card game I'm not going to talk about today, but next episode is going to be Versus System, the two-player card game. And they have lots of jabs at Magic right in their rule book. Like, one of their rules is you draw two cards a turn, and they have like a little pop-up image of Deadpool in the rule book. And it says, what kind of a lame card game only lets you draw one card per turn? We let you draw two. That's infinitely better. And it's really funny.
Magic has been jabbed at a lot, even by themselves. A good example is back in the 90s, Wizards of the Coast owned Battletech and Magic the Gathering, two different card games. And Battletech's main ad was this big old mad cat mech. And with his guns pointing at a Sarah Angel and saying, tap this.
That's funny.
Owned by the same company, making fun of their own products. But that ad worked. A lot of people really saw that ad and was like, wow, that's awesome. Because, you know, some people just didn't like, you know, the fantasy genre and wanted something more sci-fi. And honestly, Star Trek or Star Wars from Decipher was a very convoluted game. Where Battletech was a little bit more easier to understand and a little bit different flow.
Well, should we move on to the next game?
Yeah, what game have you been playing?
So this is kind of a card game, kind of not. It's a game called Unmatched Battle of Legends.
This I have not heard, no.
Okay, well, you're hopefully going to love this game. It's a 1v1 or a 2v2 game. And it's got a mix of cards and character movement on a map. There's a small map with like 10 spaces, 20 spaces on it, and you move your character on because your character has range, and a card might say shoot a character that's up to 3 spaces away or something. But the way the game works is everybody draws so many cards at the beginning of their turn. They have so many hit points, and they do so much damage by discarding a card. And you get like 2 to 3 actions per turn. And then you choose between a big list of actions on your turn of which actions am I going to do. I'm going to move, and then I'm going to play a card from hand, or I'm going to move, and then I'm going to attack. And the way the card structure works is there's no deck building, but every character comes with like a pre-constructed deck that's like 30 or 40 cards. So the characters span all over. So the core set from the first year has a bunch of like, not mythical characters, but like literature characters. So it has Alice in Wonderland, it has King Arthur, it has Medusa and Sinbad.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. And
it's pretty amazing because each character has like their own playstyle and feels completely different than other characters. It's actually sort of a re-implementation of Star Wars Epic Duels, if you ever played that. I know a lot of people are a big fan of that game.
I played a little bit. Anything with miniatures I generally stayed away from unless it was 40K.
Oh, you need to try this one. There's not too many miniatures. It's like one per deck, right? And it's really just to show where you are on this board. But yeah, each person plays as a character, and you can mix and match all the sets. So I'll go over the characters there really quick. There's those four. There was a two-character pack with Bigfoot and Robin Hood. Very funny. There's a Bruce Lee solo pack, just Bruce Lee. There was a Jurassic Park pack that had a set of Raptors and a set of InGen characters. And 1 second. Grayson, come back in 5 minutes. Now I have to edit this out. Okay. And recently there was a new pack with Dracula, the Invisible Man, Jekyll and Hyde, and Sherlock Holmes. So its characters sort of like from all over. You can fight Raptors against Jekyll and Hyde or whatever. And like I said, each character has their own individual play style. So just like Marvel Champions, it comes with this 15-card deck. Now it's going to come with this like 30 to 40-card deck that defines like how your character plays and moves around the map.
Yeah, I really actually quite like that. So that seems very interesting. I really like the fact that they're taking these mythical characters and some non-mythical characters like Bruce Lee and Dracula. No, I'm joking. and using them in this format, I really am intrigued by the fact that, you know, it's not a build deck, you know, build your deck. It's here's your deck for this. And if you haven't noticed, I've really enjoyed games that do that, like pod based in the Star Wars game, Marvel Champions with its, you know, hero signature cards. I wish more games would do this because it allows for a better balance of cards versus allowing us to just put whatever we want in there and break the game.
Yeah, and just like Marvel Champions, your cards are resources. So the actions you get to choose from, you can maneuver, which means you draw a card and then move your character. You can discard a card from your hand to boost your move, additional movement spaces. You can scheme, which is playing a card from hand. And you can attack. And when you attack, you put down like a card face down to boost your attack. And your opponent has a chance to put a card face down to boost their defense. So you don't know how the attack's going to resolve until you flip your cards. So those cards in your hand really become a resource as you're moving around the map. And you get like your main character and you get a sidekick. So Alice comes with the Jabberwocky and he's just a little token. So you have two characters that can move around sort of. And each character has a mechanic. So Alice's mechanic is shrinking and enlarging. So she's got a little token that tells you if she's tiny or if she's huge. So different things happen depending on if she's tiny or huge, just like we've seen in the upcoming Ant-Man pack. So every character has a slightly different mechanic that sort of themes their deck.
Yeah, and when I first looked at it, the first thing that came to mind when I saw the board and everything was like Pox Nora. But after hearing about it, it's much different because you're not playing more characters onto the board. You're starting with characters, and that's it.
Yeah, there's a couple characters that can bring characters back, like their little sidekicks out after they die. But for the most part, there's no extra characters you add into play. So
you know what this almost reminds me of is Anachronism, the History Channel card game.
Yeah.
Sounds very similar. Obviously a little bit different because you have decks, and in that you had predetermined, you know, items and stuff, but you had those historical figures. This sounds interesting. I might have to see if this is available on a platform.
It might be.
I guess this isn't sponsored. We could just say it. Tabletop.
Yeah, it's not a tabletop.
If we can't say it, edit it out. But this would give me the chance to try it, especially since there is still a pandemic and I'm still not going to the card shop yet. But I do have a playgroup who loves buying stuff like this, and this might be something we have to pick up.
Well, we were talking about having a Marvel Champions Monthly game night. So if we can find a mod for this online somewhere, this could be one of the games we try out with people and Magic.
Yeah, and again, I'm a huge Hidden Roll fan. So anytime somebody wants to play a Hidden Roll game like Werewolf, Resistance, Secret Hitler, hook me up. I eat that stuff up. I love it so much.
All right. So one thing we were going to do on this, I forgot to tell you this. Surprise. So I tried to make a Board Game Geek list of all the card games I've ever played recently because I thought it would be fun to like rank them and see where I think they fall. And then the list quickly got over like 200 card games long.
That would be my problem too.
What we're going to do is each episode, you're going to rate the card game you talked about on a scale of 1 to 10. So yours is obviously going to be pretty high because it's a very well-known game. So how would you rate Magic on a scale of 1 to 10?
Now, are we rating it on personal favoritism or... Personal
favoritism.
Perfect. Okay. Good, because if it's just on the game itself, it's a 100%. It's the original. It's the Godfather. It's the GOAT. But personal wise, I would put it in my top 5. I think there's some other card games that I will probably talk about later that have influenced me. Well, maybe not influenced me more, but really resonated with me a lot more. And I've talked about two of them already in this episode.
So would you say like a 9.5 out of 10, a 9 out of 10?
I would definitely put it 9.5. In my personal favorite, you know, of things that have influenced me. It is definitely a 9.9 in quality of the game itself. Like, I have a couple games in my top 5 that are not very good games, but they are personally resonate with me, like Star Wars, the Decipher game.
And I would put Unmatched at an 8 out of 10. So I'll make these little lists and we'll build them up. So at the end of the year, we'll each have like a 12 card game list at least, which will be pretty cool.
There we go. Yeah. So 9.5 on Magic the Gathering. I think everybody should try this game once.
Definitely. So that was our first episode of Card Game Chit Chat with Kennedy and Crimson. So if you guys want to write an email in, we are Marvel Champions Monthly @gmail.com. Just send us a short email saying about one of your favorite card games or a card game you played recently, and we'll try to check it out before the next recording of this little mini podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Sounds great. You guys have a wonderful night and stay safe out there.
Remember, keep shuffling, and green cards are still gross. Unless they're magic ones, big creatures are cool.